You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
Did he break up with her? Or
I don't know
up
the details.
Well, you seem to know everything else.
No, like, I know stupid stuff, like if a DJ's going to play the music.
You are fake news.
You are fake news.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Raptors in action tonight there in Minnesota. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Darren Dreger coming up later in the hour in studio. We'll ask him how much money he would spend to buy a Zamboni. Dreger's been making the rinks around his house for years.
Yep.
Writes about it, tweets about it. Would he ever invest top dollar on a Zamboni to make his life just a little bit easier? So we'll get to that more with Dreger later in the hour. We've been talking a lot about Charles Barkley the past week and a half. And obviously it was sparked with the LeBron James stuff and him going at LeBron. And then LeBron responded with just a vicious attack on his personal life, his backstory, what he did during his career. And all of a sudden people were kind of picking sides one way or the other. And I love the personality that is Charles Barkley. I find that panel to be just exceptionally entertaining. But he's become somewhat predictable. Barkley always hates the young players. It seems like he hates the game today. And he was on Mike and Mike on ESPN this morning. He was asked about this big story that's circulating online. A kid by the name of LaMelo Ball, a high schooler, scored 92 points yesterday. 41 in the fourth quarter. 41 points in a quarter. And Barkley had this to say about what happened last night.
You know, the kid was waiting at half court most of the game, never went back on defense. So I had a problem with it, to be honest with you. Go look at the game. The kid waited on the other end of the court, and they just every time the other team shot a ball, they just threw it to him at half court or three quarters of the court. I had a serious problem with that, to be honest with you.
A serious problem with a high school player.
You're right. A serious problem is aggressive. Do I like the fact that the kid got 92 points and all? He went Teen Wolf, and there was four other Chubbs out there.
And it's not easy being Chubbs. I get it. You want the ball. You want to get some love. You need to feel it yourself. And there is an element of Teen Wolf here. And, you know, he's properly adding some context to the situation. If the guy's sitting at half court and not even getting back into his own end of the court to help out on defense,
right. It's
not something I would suggest you do all the time. But when you have history on the line here, and it's a high school basketball player who's playing for free,
right.
To have a serious issue
throw
with a guy.
Him a bone a little
can Barkley
bit.
Not just relax a little bit from time to time?
How about the team that's playing against him? Why not have somebody stand there with him or rough him up or do something?
Double team him, triple team him.
Like, get in his grill. I don't know what you can do in basketball to kind of get underneath the skin. You can accidentally, on purpose, give him a little elbow in the chops or, like.
What, you force him to pass it to Chubbs?
Step on his toe a few times. Exactly. Like, shadow him enough that he's not going to get 92. That's embarrassing for the team that allowed him to put up 92. You got to figure out a way to
slow him down. You put up 50 and just say, okay, somebody else do it?
No.
Once you get the ball rolling.
He's Millennial X, too. He wants...
I guess there's an element of
like
millennial.
What the hell is he saying? I want 90 tonight?
I want 90. He wanted 90. What if he, after the game, he's like, I'm pissed. I missed a couple. I should have had 98.
No, that would be that's a Belichick comment.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. You had 92.
Like, what was he hunting for, a hunch?
I guess. Wouldn't you? Though, if you had the chance at triple digits.
Right.
And you're feeling it. I mean, like NBA Jam, you are on fire.
Yeah.
I say go for it. It's high school basketball.
You're right.
Right? Because you know this is going to develop into a bigger story, Noodles. You know it.
For sure.
With this opponent. Whatever high school they were, you know the coach is complaining about the sportsmanship and why did you take advantage of us like that?
Exactly.
And when did it get to a point where you have to, everyone gets to participate?
Right, the participation badge.
You got a problem with it, coach, stop them. Don't let them throw up 92.
That's what I'm saying. That's the coach's fault. That's the team's fault for allowing him to put 92 up.
And it's high school. Why can we not just, like, everything's got to be debatable and there's got to be two sides to every coin.
That's the society we live in. It's not, you know, celebrate the guy for putting up 92. It's like, damn him for being selfish or what's wrong with this. We just talked about it. We just pulled four storylines out of it. Barkley's pissed off. He's pissed off at a high school guy.
Think about
that. Guy's 16 years old.
Charles Barkley, NBA Hall of Famer, one of the most prominent sports analysts.
That's a serious problem with him.
On ESPN radio in the morning all over the country, is carving a kid who scored 92. I got a serious problem. If you go back and watch the tape, like he was watching it live or something. You probably saw a three-minute highlight and saw him at times maybe.
Right.
Not get back on defense.
But. And I don't watch enough of that panel, but it seems like it's a lot of negativity.
With Charles.
Yeah. It's like...
Everything sucks.
Some
everything,
of the stuff
he hates
is funny.
Everyone.
Like, I never
laughed.
Oh,
he is funny. They're entertaining.
I never laughed. He was giving it to the Phoenix Suns one night saying, like, their team is so bad. The food in the stands, the...
Yeah.
Remember the...
Everything was bad.
The nachos were stale. The cheese was... like, it was so... The parking, he goes... Well, the parking, I drove up and sat right next to the building, he said, because there was no fans in the stands. Like, it was very funny. You're reading that tweet, aren't you?
Yeah.
People writing in that we all look like idiots?
No, that he has a few
I had a couple
hairs.
Alfalfas going.
Well, it's because you were wearing your Mortgage Warrior.
I know, and I haven't really looked in the mirror.
But getting back to Barkley, yeah, they can be negative, but it's a very entertaining panel. It's very insightful. I think that panel is unreal.
It's outstanding. Well, I'll give him credit because he goes to the woodshed every single time out. He does not sugarcoat. I appreciate the fact that he's saying what's on his mind. I just
right.
I'm wondering, do you draw the line on just accepting something as a cool, fun story as opposed to analyzing it from that kind of slant? And I mean, Barkley's the only guy I've ever seen who openly mocks the game that's about to be on the network.
Right.
Like, he's done that many times where he's like, why are we showing this game? This game's going to be awful.
I'm not watching this one. I'm watching the other one.
He said that before.
No.
Like, they came back at a halftime. It was like Knicks Bobcats. It's just an awful game. And Ernie goes, what was your thoughts on the first half? He said, I didn't even watch. But I was watching a better game on another channel. I'm not talking about this. On the panel. Like, what do you think Duffy would say? What do you think the Quizmaster would say if you were asked to break down the first period and you said, Pittsburgh, Washington's playing on the other channel. That's what I was watching during the first period.
He would have an issue.
You might be on a different panel the next game.
Barkley can get away with it.
It is funny the way that they work. And I don't watch a lot of basketball, but I will. If that panel's on, I'll tune in to see what he's got to say.
I'm with you. People hate it. I mean, Nick tweeting and saying, you guys should see the video of the 92-point game. It's a gutless 92-point game.
Gutless.
But it's high school. I hate to break it to you, but I got a life. I'm not going to go back and watch the game and actually break it all down. But
I like
a gutless 92 points.
Gutless 92. There you go. So maybe Charles was on to something. He probably said it's the same thing. It's a gutless 92. It's not him walking through everyone. It's his teammates propping him up.
You have to get the ball, right? Your teammates have to buy into the fact that you're trying to accomplish something, and they have to help you out.
So you think there's a Chubbs that didn't want to pass him the ball at some point?
Probably. Someone thought, why can't I get a couple shots here?
Yeah,
I don't think, but... Anyway.
For a kid that age, Bri, come on, 92 is aggressive.
It's a big number.
That's why Charles had a serious problem with it.
He really was disgusted. Keeping with this theme, Michael Jordan, I guess the owner of the Warriors, was on radio in San Francisco and was relaying a story about how all the owners, I guess they were in New York, they were boozing, eating, and Jordan... Yeah. Jordan pulls him aside and goes, just so you know, that 73-win season doesn't mean anything because he didn't win the title.
Really?
And the owner, I guess, was on radio in San Fran, said it was actually a hurtful comment from Jordan.
Why is it? Why all of a sudden do we live in a world like people, can they not shut their mouth? How come everything has to just, like even guys like, excuse me, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, like, do you need to go up to the owner of that team and say that? Can't you just shut up?
It's a good point about like I'm a little surprised the owner would relay.
It's like
the story
people
on
just
radio.
Can't stop themselves anymore. They're like, I want to clickbait something with my own yip, and I'm just going to go up and say that 73 win season, That didn't mean you know what.
Which is a garbage comment. Like,
why do you need to do that? What happened to the world where you can just shut up?
That's Jordan, but it's their ego. Nutshell, because
it's his ego.
It was his record that was beaten.
Exactly. I know, but look at the people that we're talking about, Brian. We're not talking about some pigeon that's trying to make news. We're talking about Phil Jackson, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, LeBron. It's like, what the hell's going on?
There's a lot of anger in the NBA.
But
you know
what it is? It's because news is instantaneous and it's shared very quickly that, you know, that public perception of people compared to the private perception, maybe these guys aren't the amazing teammates we all thought they were. Maybe some of the stuff that starts to spew out is like, hey, is this what this guy's really like behind closed doors?
I'm not surprised about this at all, though, when it comes to Jordan. Jordan is insane when it comes to intensity and when it comes to his own greatness. And
didn't he have the greatest, like, isn't that the crying face? Wasn't it his speech where he was like,
I'm the greatest. Like, it was the most obscene and just absurd Hall of Fame speech you'll ever see in your
life. I'm going back to watch it tonight.
It was, you Who's? Have to be, Jordan. Jordan, you have to be warped in a way that is so narcissistic and so self just imposed, and yeah, everything revolves around you, and you are so committed to the fact that you're the greatest. The whole thing was, I can't believe I'm here. I'm so great. Like, I'm so great, and I deserve to be here, and they should rename the thing after me. Like, it was a really strange
Hall of Fame. They should rename it?
He didn't go that far. I'm putting words in his mouth. But essentially, he was making it out like everyone was so blessed to be in the presence of Michael Jordan. But I'm not surprised by that. You hear about these stories about him all the time. So I'm not surprised he would sit there and take a run at it. I'm a little surprised that the owner goes on record to say that it was hurtful. What the hell did you accomplish in the 73 wins? You stroked some checks. You didn't go out there and throw up threes. Like, owners, do they have the right to be hurtful because someone takes a shot at their team? Like, Steph Curry, I could see being like, Jordan, take a lap. You're an old man now. Like, I beat you.
Also, one thing you have to understand is you don't know in what context. You're six bottles of wine deep. And it's like, wow, that was, you know, our team did. And he might have just been like, well, you didn't win the championship, so what you did during the regular season didn't mean anything. And he might have blown that out of proportion and said,
he might have woken up
with a David Wells hangover and just said, Jordan said that our season was garbage. Who knows?
Maybe he wasn't even interpreting it correctly.
But why take that public? That's the thing.
And that's on the owner in Golden State.
There's another guy, the owner of the Golden State. Why does he have to talk about the comments that were probably not meant for? They weren't. They were meant for him, and he goes public with them too.
But that's what I'm saying.
What the hell?
The information is instantaneous. Somebody grabs it, and all of a sudden, it's all over. So a conversation that may have happened.
Before we go on the air, we all talk about comments that we had with other people, and other people said to us. But you know, when we don't say them on the air.
Well, I know that's Overdrive Unplugged, and we can't.
No,
we wouldn't have jobs if we.
Well, I mean, this wasn't something like he wasn't.
Well, we'd be also suing ourselves and other comments, stupid comments that other people have made to us, where we're like, can you believe that this guy said this?
Yeah,
but it's not going across the airwaves.
He wasn't suing. Like, what Jordan said wasn't illegal or racist or homophobic or anything like that.
No,
he was shedding light on the way Jordan thinks.
Right,
and I think Jordan probably does believe that, but I think he's wrong. If you win, like, there have been a lot of teams that have won titles. Only one team has won 73 games. Like, I believe when all is said and done, I don't care what Golden State says on the record, and I know I'm sure they've said the cliche, we'll trade the 73 wins for a ring. I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't trade 73 wins for a ring. Some other team's going to win a ring this year. Some other team will win a ring in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Only one team sits at the top of the mount when it comes to wins in a regular season.
Yeah, but
that's more prestigious than winning a title, in my opinion.
Really?
Absolutely.
So if you never won a title in your whole career, you wouldn't trade, but you did have the 73 win season. You would hang that around your neck like a
absolutely
like a ring, like a belt.
Greatest regular season team of all time.
But there's
40 different teams have won a title.
You're right, but isn't that how we measure the importance? We're just talking about Tom Brady, 5 rings.
Well,
just talking about greatest players. They all have championships.
Here's the thing when it comes to Golden State. They won the year before.
Right.
So they already had the ring.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
To kind of essentially
cement that
legacy and write it in stone. But taking that aside,
right,
I think you can make a case for the 73 wins. I mean, that's never been done before.
Okay, but what gets you? I'm just being stupid with this. What gets you more bar play? I'm a champion, or geez, boy, in the regular season we were good. Like, Washington Capitals won the President's Trophy last year. What do all we talk about? Couldn't get a Stanley Cup. It's on them to get a Stanley Cup this year. So for me, regular season means a lot, and especially a prestigious record like that that'll probably never be broken. But it's not a championship.
It's not the ring.
We talked about LeBron delivering a ring to the city of Cleveland.
I hear you. And I guess maybe I'm looking at it differently because they won the year before.
I guess that's a great point.
But also from the standpoint of it meaning something. Like Jordan saying it doesn't mean anything, and that's completely ridiculous.
Right.
73 wins is a remarkable feat.
And it'll probably never be broken.
I can't imagine. I mean, I didn't think 72 was ever going to get broken. 73 wins. 73 and 9 is crazy.
That is gross.
And that is something that, you know, even without winning the title, man, what I'm saying is you can still look back on last season if you're Golden State and be pretty proud of what you accomplished.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway. For sure. You checking out Jordan's Hall of Fame speech?
I'm checking Jordan's. I can't, I'm going to watch it in the break because I want to hear what this guy.
It is something else.
Like, even at 28-3 on Twitter the other day, there was Belichick and Brady's face with the crying Jordan face on it. Do people, when they make comments like that and then get proven wrong, do they go back on their Twitter feed and they delete?
I don't know.
Like, I would love to see that.
Kanye West deletes tweets.
Apparently he deleted some recently about the Trump.
Any
about
supporting
Donnie.
Trump?
Oh, really?
About
he
deleted
them. Oh, now he doesn't support him anymore.
Well, anything about Trump, he's deleted them all.
Because he was a big supporter of Trump.
Well, they met. Yeah, I don't know, but apparently.
No, I remember him saying
he's not anymore.
Well, he was trumpeting the idea of Trump winning, but then he also said publicly he didn't even vote. So that kind of ended Kanye's stance. But
that guy's a lunatic. I mean, speaking of lunatics, but Kanye's a lunatic too.
Claims he's running in 2020.
For what?
I don't know. Someone texting in, "Hey, this is the stupidest take you've ever had." But okay.
No, I understood.
Good
what
comment,
you're
but wait, no. Wait till you hear the reasoning behind this.
Oh, okay.
What take?
The fact that the 73 wins means as much as a title, if not more, because you're alone at the top of the mountain. I was on the junior B team with the most wins every season. I would gladly take a ring over that. You'll get a ring in junior B, and there is no such thing as record books when it comes to junior B hockey.
So what is this guy trying to say? His junior B team won every year, but they couldn't close the deal?
I guess. He's saying they were choke artists when it got to the playoffs.
Well, then that's what you get. You're a choke artist in
like
junior B.
Ginny says, bar play for 73 wins is good during the regular season. A ring is forever winning at bar play. Hashtag bar play. She gets it.
All right. Yeah, a lot of people are against me on this one.
Well,
last time I checked, there was a big story last year. Them going for 73 seemed like it was a pretty big story.
But I think the LeBron winning the ring,
probably
coming down from 3-1, too, that was the bigger story.
Well, I guess the biggest story is that Golden State missed out on arguably the greatest season in history.
Exactly. That's probably what Jordan was taking a shot at. And like you said, it was probably six bottles of wine deep and side burps a comment. And this guy's got to run with it, and now we've got to talk about it.
Now it's on radio. Now Jordan's going to have the answer for it.
Exactly.
Anyway. Forget about MJ. He stiffed me anyway.
Wow. Really?
Peeler joined. I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, remember the golf tournament we were in?" And he just went, "Nope." And then I was like,
"Big golf, eh? Big golf. See you later."
See you later. How do you respond to that?
I know. He's sitting in the VIP room at the Cheetah in Atlanta, and I'm like, "Remember the golf tournament we were in together and the Jimmy V in Carolina?" He just shook his head, no.
Well, he's probably had a lot of people like...
I know, and I was that loser.
Well, that's the thing. What were you hoping he was going to say?
I don't know. I did what I should never have done.
Yeah, I remember you. Buttercut, shot 74. I remember that round. It was a great round.
But there's...
But we spent time in a VIP room together at night after the golf tournament, and then it was just like nothing.
He's probably spent time with a lot of people in the VIP room, but I'll say, I don't know how far that would have gone. I've got a buddy back home whose uncle always tells me to, through him, to pass a hello to Aginla for him.
Okay.
But
they met at some
how
point.
How am I supposed
Darcy
to?
Darcy Tucker thinks you're an idiot again. I don't know why. I don't know what you did, but you hate
Well, it's probably the 73.
Titles versus 73
yeah, it's
wins.
The titles. It is, for anyway. Sure.
All right, well, whatever. I was waiting for him to chime in. It's been a few weeks.
Well, you want to read it word by word?
No, because they're probably swearing.
No, there's nothing. No swearing.
We can't do that. We're going to do what the guy, the owner, just did to Jordan.
Yeah, see, this is supposed to be.
You're outing Tucker. You're pulling a Golden State Warriors.
No, I'm not.
Owner here. You read it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll read it.
Go ahead. You read it.
Read it.
Hayes being a buffoon again.
I don't even know what that means.
It's just an evergreen topic or evergreen comment. All right, Dreger's coming in. How much would he pay for a Zamboni? And McElhaney or Anderson tomorrow night? Got more coming up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Three Stars Best Bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. You can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check out every hour on iTunes. Darren Dreger in studio, and the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. What's happening, Dregs?
Oh, you know, just grinding it out. Just another Wednesday here at the Salt Mine.
Well, we were talking about you earlier because you're a big outdoor rink kind of builder, engineer. I mean, what kind of title comes with that when you make your own rink?
Crazy.
right.
Nah, bored.
But you enjoyed doing it.
Oh, I loved it. I don't do it as much anymore. I've got the pond in the backyard now, and it has not been a good winter for looking after the pond with freezing rain and snow and all the nonsense.
Yeah, it's too warm at times,
but
too.
I loved it. I mean, it was therapeutic, and not to get into a minor hockey rant here, and maybe you guys can attest to this. I always felt like my son played better after the backyard rink was up, and the reason is he could go out there, or your daughter can go out there and have fun, shoot pucks, yeah, messing around, kill 2 hours, and not have anyone barking at them because they didn't do this drill right or didn't do that drill. Hey, look, practice is important. I mean, obviously it's important. It prepares you for games at whatever level you're playing. But I loved it. I loved the build. I loved looking after it, and the results were there.
Would you ever buy a Zamboni?
Yes.
You would buy one?
100%.
That's how much would you be willing to pay?
Because that's what we're talking debatable. About. Earlier. Adam Foote.
How much do you think one's worth?
Like a backyard rink one?
No. State of the art 2017, top of the line. We looked this up earlier. We were surprised by
the
price.
For Air Canada Center?
Yeah.
Upwards of $1 million.
No, what are
you? Come on. How much are they?
Well, now we're talking to him like he's
now,
a jackass.
Now, I come from Western Canada, right? You know what a combine is?
Yes.
You know, when you're mowing down wheat. And
these guys have
guess
no
what
idea.
A combine
They have
costs.
No idea no. what a combine
well,
is.
It's upwards $1 million. Yeah, it's upwards of $1,600,000, $750,000.
Yes. Really?
A combine. Yeah, but that's
I don't even know what it is.
Exactly.
Well, so you don't have an answer to the question?
No, I do. I got an answer to it. It's like 150 grand, something like that.
That's
160
huge.
Grand.
I just sell them the combine, the farm, everything, and cash them out.
Yeah.
Go that happens, too.
What do you need a combine for? Combine? Is
to
that what
it's
called?
To do the
fields.
Our buddy, Robin Regier. He's retired. This is a guy who won a Stanley Cup.
Don't forget, they're farmers. They're
right
the toughest, smartest human beings on earth.
I'm not a farmer. I grew up in Edmonton. I hate the outdoors.
Hey, you enjoy eating, though, right? Like, you enjoy eating. You know, you don't mind having a good steak from time to time.
Once a month,
I have a steak. You like pasta every now and again. You don't mind a sandwich. Where do you think that stuff comes from, other than...
I support Ontario farmers, Darren.
Well, yeah, well, Ontario farmers have combines, too.
Yeah, they do. Alberta, there is great Alberta beef.
Potatoes come from Alliston, Ontario.
Yeah, well, how do you think they get them out of the ground?
What?
How do you think they get the potatoes
out of the ground? I don't care. Potatoes come from out west.
Diggers.
Manually.
Anyway. Right.
We've got Darren Dreger in here for the agriculture report.
I did the ag report in my early days at radio.
Really?
GX94 in Yorkton. There I used to go. Have to do the ag report.
No way. See, well, that would be important stuff, I
guess,
right?
Canola prices up 50 cents today.
The soil is at a temperature right now where you can pluck the carrots.
We're making fun of the wrong group of
people.
These people will come up swinging, I'm telling
Although
you.
Although we always talk about doing shows like all over the world. No one's ever said Yorkton, so I don't think we're
to Saskatoon.
Hey, I had three choices, okay? 18 years old, take over the family farm, work in the potash mine near Esterhazy, Saskatchewan, or
grind
do what
it
I'm
out.
Doing now.
Well, yeah, I think you picked the right door, wouldn't
Chose
you say?
The right door.
Yeah.
So could you farm, though? Like, if someone called you up right now in wherever Ontario said, we got an issue here. We need someone that knows how to work this thing. Do you think you could farm on the fly right now?
I'll tell you what, well, my parents aren't going to hear this, so it doesn't really matter what they think. I was driving a grain truck when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
From the field to the grain bins, operating, you know,
heavy machinery.
Very, very, very dangerous equipment. So in answer to your question, I could put a crop in the ground and I could harvest that crop at the end of the year. Now, I'd have to go back to the 80s when you're using the equipment we were using. I mean, now, honestly, they have GPS systems on these things where they almost drive themselves. Well, I wouldn't know how to function the technology today.
That's another thing. Some guy said you can buy electric Zambonis now.
Right.
Like Zamboni drivers might be in trouble. Like the Zamboni driver union could have a little bit of an issue on their hands.
What I did was I brought up your name because I said you're involved in your local Minor Hawk, Whitby, right?
Right.
Whitby. They would know how much the price of Zamboni is. I'm thinking of Aikensdale Arena in St. Albert, Alberta. That Zamboni's not $225,000.
No.
They used to have the rubber tractor that came across. Yeah. The snow would come right by the guy's head.
No, I'm talking about like the NHL ones are
those are
$500. No, all the small town ones are refurbished and, you know, they're from the 60s and the 70s. But, hey, I'll tell you, there's lots of, by lots more than five ex-NHL players who have these unbelievable backyard facilities. Adam Foote has a Zamboni for his backyard rink. And it's a mini Zamboni. I think it might even be smaller than the ones they use for the outdoor games. Billy Guerin's got an unbelievable backyard setup.
That would be awesome.
But you make 9.5 times how many years? Five?
Yeah.
When he went to the Dallas Stars, he did okay.
You can spend some cash. Where do you stand on the idea of Curtis McElhinney getting another start tomorrow night? Would you go back to Freddie? Do you think they'll go back to Freddie?
I think they go back to Freddie. And I don't, like, you know, are we developing or trying to build a controversy?
No.
I don't think there is. I don't think there is one.
Right.
I think that there's a good enough relationship between Freddie Anderson and the coaching staff that they recognize the schedule and the work that has to get done to massage this. And look, I don't know that fatigue was a factor or a contributing factor to the way Anderson was playing, but, you know, resting your goalie doesn't improve your defense. Your team defense. So I don't see that it was Freddie Anderson's fault.
Well, I tend to agree. I think they're probably going to go back to Anderson tomorrow night. And I think if history tells us anything, that's the way Babcock approached it in October when he was having his issues. He said, you got to play through because they need Anderson. McElhinney's not getting him into a playoff spot. McElhinney's been very good. It's been three starts. They played really well last night.
He was really good.
Very, very good. They needed him. I mean, Dallas had the opportunity to pot a lot of goals, and McElhinney shut it down. But
well, the Sagan goal was a rocket.
That's him at all.
That wasn't his fault. I mean, you can't lose the draw there.
Right, exactly. Right? And that's Ben Smith, who, you know, they expect to win a lot of those big draws. But I don't know. I think at the very least it does feel like they've solidified the backup position. I don't think he's getting waived again. I don't think they're looking for the next Jonas Enroth or Kari Ramo. I mean, McElhinney's their guy now, and he's going to have to give him four or five more starts.
Well, Kari Ramo, too, is I think they've released him. And he's gone.
He's back in Finland or whatever. He's gone. Yeah, McElhinney's the guy.
And,
I'm intrigued by the goalie market in general, though, because there are some good guys who aren't playing in the National Hockey League. And you got to wonder. And then you've got the Marc-Andre Fleury situation that continues to fester, and I'll use that word, you know, in Pittsburgh. Where is he going to land if he's going to land anywhere? And you know, if you're a team that feels like you need an upgrade in goal, why wouldn't you look at, you know, some of the other guys that are, you know, Jarolak is doing some pretty good things now.
He's not an NHL goaltender. I'm sorry.
No?
No.
Jeez, he did pretty well in Montreal a few years back.
That's a few years back.
Yeah, that's a
This is not the American Hockey League. He is awful for the Islanders.
There's a lot of guys struggling. I mean, we talked about this earlier. Someone posted this on Twitter earlier today. Rask, Anderson, Crawford, Lundqvist, Bobrovsky, Price, since January 1st, they all have save percentages under .902.
It's true because
like they're all having their issues
right
now.
The season's starting to catch up to guys. This condensed season, a lot of games. I said this. Has the condensed season messed with the quality of the games? Because I don't know how many games I've watched where they're just a dog's breakfast.
Not in Toronto.
I
Toronto's the most entertaining team in the league.
But there's times where you're like, okay, if they're not scoring, and I get that, the Maple Leafs are exciting, but are you excited even if they lose a 6-5 game?
Yeah.
Because you're happy that they get the young guys get their points. That's my point is there's a lot of real systematic failures when it comes to some of the games because the guys aren't there mentally.
I'm curious what you guys think about this because you used a word that I think is appropriate, entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the game has been more entertaining than it is right now in a long, long time. You know, maybe going back to the high-scoring 80s.
What do you say? What reason? The amount of goals?
Yeah, amount of goals. And you know, how the goals are being generated, who's scoring the goals. I mean, you know, Lyonnais' shot, the heroics from Marner and Matthews that we've seen this year. I'm going to assume that it's driving the coaches crazy, right? Because it's for the most part, and this is what I'm going to ask, is it mistake-riddled or driven? Or is it the game evolving to a point where this young skill is forcing that? You know, the speed, the creativity, all of that. Beyond what the coaches can do to shut it down.
Well, coaches that want to shut it down are coaches of a lot of bad teams. And there's a lot of bad teams. And they know they can't win 4-3. They can't win 5-4.
Right.
And they're so bad, they can only try to just play defense and win 2-1.
Yeah,
and that's what they're trying to do. And they can't keep up with that elite talent because they'll beat you every night. If they can play any kind of structure and match yours, the talent's going to win every time.
The one thing that I see, though, I don't think it's more entertaining. Like, more goals doesn't translate to more entertainment for me. I've seen the high-scoring games. All we talk about is bad goaltending. Hayes, you just rattled off a list of what's wrong with Rask, Price, all of these guys. I've got to talk about Carey Price tomorrow. What's wrong with Carey Price? What's wrong with Dallas? What's wrong with Calgary? Like, all we talk about is the goaltending. Now, the goals are up, and that's great, and I like goals, and I'm not taking away the entertainment value. But to me, there's a fine line between skill and great plays, and great goaltending can be mixed in there, where I'd love to see a 4-3 game every night where you get 6-7 goals.
Right.
On great skill, not where you're like, man, that goalie should have had that one, and that one.
Well, but I hear you, and I think it's the mentality and it's the approach, right? It depends on which way you want to look at the game, because the Leafs are an example. We've said this many times. When they beat a team, well, the other team was awful. Well, maybe it's just that the Leafs were good, right? Yeah. And maybe it's not that the goalies are awful all the time. It's that these guys are creating chances right
now. But that's the culture of hockey. That's the culture of the media that covers hockey. It's no fun for the panel to sit up there and show how great, you know, show five things that were great about the game. We do a lot of that. You know, Austin Matthews has a solid night. Obviously, he's going to lead our highlight pack, and he's going to be a big part of any chat that we have. But at some point, particularly if the Leafs lose, we're getting to the negative in a hurry because that's what we believe sells. That's what the fans want. Watch golf on a weekend-by-weekend basis. They're not worried about the guy who, you know, is plus.
They want the Vanderbilt.
Well, there's that. But they're always looking at the leaders. They're looking for the positive stories, particularly on a Sunday. Who's moving up the leaderboard? You know, if it's Tiger Woods, you have to show. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The culture of golf is much different than it is in hockey.
Yeah, it's you're right. I mean, that's always been the approach. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, kind of jokingly, we're not talking about a controversy here in Toronto with Anderson and with McElhinney, and it's not going to happen because Babcock won't allow it, and common sense is going to prevail. Freddie Anderson's your guy, and he should be your guy. But there are people, I'm sure you're getting the tweets. I got the tweets immediately after McElhinney won last night. Should he go in Thursday? Is he going to play more games? Like, fans feed off that, too.
I guess, but you know that the coaches don't.
So no, I know
that's just noise out there. And I can't for the life of me believe. If Babcock were to do that, he'd have to come clean as to why. And it would be one of two things. He either believes that Freddie needs an extended break to rest, or he's hurt. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, does it? You're not inviting that sort of dialogue into this market. There's no reason.
We'll be chatting about it on That's Hockey, Darren.
Philip Grubauer got a shutout the other day. You're going to come back with Holtby. That's how the mentality is. Even when I got a shutout one time in St. Louis, I'm backing up Grant Fear. Fear's playing the next game. Like Kiprusoff, Luongo, some of the guys. It happens. And it doesn't. It's not a slight on McElhinney. He just knows his lane. And, you make a great point. Because that's what I was trying to say. if it was planned out that they said our schedule's really jammed up and we've got to get Anderson some rest, why not do it right now when McElhinney's playing very well and you can roll him right back?
Backups can play good for small stretches. After that, they suck. So get him out of there and you get the other guy.
But that's the only way I would think that, is if they said, okay, we can roll him out one more game and we can get 4 days in between games for Anderson. Outside of that, doesn't matter what McElhinney did last night. You're going back to your starter because he is your starter. That's the way. And that's what this market has been dying for.
Is that true, number one? Yeah.
No, and
you're
he's
right. But,
it.
But what they're also dying for is a playoff position.
Wins.
And they want wins, and it's a big game tomorrow.
Here's what you're going to see moving forward, though. You know, all the top goaltenders get paid deservedly so. Big money, right? The elite guys, there's few of them, they get paid. You're going to start to see teams with elite goalies who start paying the backup. And they're not going to pay them the same amount of money, of course. That's not what I'm suggesting. But if you identify a really good backup goaltender, you hold on to that guy for dear life. You know, it's Mike Conn, it's Curtis McElhinney. Go down the list.
Well, guys like Budaj in L.A., they're going to start sniffs where it's like, well, this guy could probably be a good backup.
Boston Bruins acknowledging that if they had a better quality of backup goaltending this year, they're not in the position that they're in the standings.
It's true.
They're not worried about Tuukka Rask other than the fact that he's not healthy. And they feel like he's been overstressed because their backup goaltending hasn't been good enough. Well, when's the last time we talked about that?
Well, the other night, Zane McIntyre comes in like that. You know, JVR shot was great and it was a screen, but you need, like, your backup has to instill that confidence. And it's nice that, what was it, 6 weeks ago, we were talking about how the backup had there was no confidence here with the backup with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, they were going through them like. Yeah. You know, it was
changing
it was,
underwear.
Absolutely. You mentioned Julian or the Bruins anyway, and Julian's out. So you got Julian on the free market, Hitchcock out there, Gerard Gallant out there, Jack Capuano out there. We focused more on the Canadian markets.
Yeah.
Do you think this will carry over to the summer? Do you think this could affect the way the Canadian owners and Canadian management looks at their own coaching situation because these guys are out there, specifically Vancouver, Winnipeg, Calgary?
Right. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe. Look, ownership and senior management most definitely will have conversations, if they haven't already, with their general managers to say, okay, we're not going to do anything in season. It's too disruptive. Maybe there's no reason to do anything in season. And this extends, you know, across the league, not just into Canada. But they're definitely having those conversations and saying, all right, well, let's just give it some thought. Let's give it some thought as to whether or not we need to be a player in this game. The only one that makes some sense to me, fairly or unfairly, is Vancouver. But who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Claude Julien? Well, or are we talking about Ken Hitchcock?
And either or. They're great coaches, right?
Yeah, and then Gallant is highly regarded. And, you know, Jack Capuano, say what you want, did a decent job with the New York Islanders. And he'll be on the list of those that the Vegas Golden Knights take a good look at. So,
I don't even look at Jack Capuano's resume.
You just look at his hair and
his tie? You just don't think he's good enough?
I just think there's either somebody different out there. Like, I love the idea of finding a different voice, a fresh new coach, instead of just saying, I got to get the guy that couldn't make it work with the Islanders. I want something different. I don't need to go down that road. Claude Julien and guys like that, even Gerard Gallant, yeah. But Jack?
It's the hair and his one tie. That's what it is.
No, it isn't.
He cuts his own hair.
You've got to look at the results, and you can talk about the players that he had and all that. But, I mean, he had some decent seasons.
Well, think about that. Like, you're trying to coach a team, and you've got...
Oh, so that's great. I'm going to say to my owner, this guy had some decent seasons. I don't give a rat's ass about a decent season.
It's his hair, and it's the one tie. No, just be honest, man.
It is.
You think somebody as a professional general manager would say... the hair?
Yes, I do.
This is going to sound terrible, and I shouldn't say it out loud. But, you know, when you look, it doesn't matter whether you're a professional or whatever. Everybody has that person where, you know, for me, it used to be Bill Waters when he was with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would expect a big stain on his shirt just because he ate a sandwich at lunch or had a sip of wine and spilled half of it. And he used to do it all the time. So Wilbur wouldn't mind me telling that story. But every time I'd see Capuano on camera, I'd look for the white on his shirt to see if there
that.
Was part
like
of a sub
I do that off there. With Minnie, with Brucey.
Right. Oh.
But he's always got the tie over here.
But they win
ties
games.
Ties undone. Yeah,
like
they
win he's games. On his face, sub sauce on his face.
Good thing all four of us are pitching a perfect game.
That's
huh?
right. Yeah, we're all Tom Brady perfect over here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Drakes. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, I got to go. Gino's House of Pain awaits.
All right, man. Then get to the farm and take video for us. The Hockey Insider is brought to you by Financing, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. We'll wrap up this bad boy next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA tonight, the Raptors start rolling. They've won two in a row. They went three in a row, and they covered tonight in mini. Washington is going to smoke Brooklyn. They're the worst team in the league. And Cleveland is starting to pick up wins, too. They're at Indy. I will lay the points with the Cavs, throw down 20, and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. He's ready for the Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day, brought to you by Babs Socks.
Yes.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
Noodles, who you got?
3rd star, all the combine drivers out west.
I still have no idea what that means.
All the farmers. Okay. We'll give them some love.
I got a 3-pack. All the potato farmers in Alliston. Mm-hmm. I refuse to use Western produce or anything else. All Alliston. 2nd star, Noodles, for gutting it out and getting in here.
Grinded it out.
And 1st star, Connor McDavid. Check his Twitter. You'll understand why.
McDavid is posting tweets and showing a lot of personality on Twitter.
Starting to enjoy himself.
He's got a great personality.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Let's just say if he was doing anything else, he ain't posting that pic.
You're right.
Shout out to Joe Narsa again behind the glass. Yeah. Mullen and Steph, I guess, deserves a bit of a shout out.
For what? Laying on the couch?
I don't know what she's doing, but bit of a shout out.
Just a tiny shout out. Just not a star. An anti-star?
No, we're not going to go anti-star.
Anti-star for Phil Jackson.
Yes, for Phil. Absolutely. Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Babs Socks. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Babs Socks and support the team. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.